The way the Church of England treats people who were abused by clergy in the past has been questioned again. Last month, a report about the activities of the disgraced former Bishop Peter Bull accused senior church figures of colluding with him as he abused young men. Now, the survivor of another case of abuse has told us about his attempts to get the church and its insurers to listen. He's been speaking to our religious affairs correspondent, Martin Bashir.
I'm bipolar. I've had long-term mental health illness. I was a school failure.
This man, Gilo, reflects on a life disfigured by sexual abuse.
I was quite sadistically raped by a senior chancellor in the Church of England. I told really quite a lot of senior figures within the church about my rape. But I didn't tell
the abuse began at St Mary Abchurch in London's financial centre in the early 1970s. Gilo tried to tell senior members of the church on at least 20 occasions. The church finally acknowledged his experience 2 years ago, but instead of emphasising pastoral support, they instructed the church's insurer to negotiate compensation.
I think because of the relationship that the church has with the insurers, the pastoral response is so fused with the legal response, so it's really effectively led by insurers.
But the Church of England doesn't legally own the insurer, so it's perfectly fine, presumably, for an insurer to give advice.
I think when that insurer has got such significant presence of senior clerics on its board across the years, then you're into an area of moral responsibility.
Ecclesiastical Insurance Group is the company that insures the church against damage to its buildings and also to its people. On its board, since it was founded, have sat several bishops and other senior clergy. Ian Elliott, a safeguarding expert who conducted a review of Gilo's case, says the church was heavily influenced by the advice it received.
The advice that identified in the report directly conflicted with those pastoral responsibilities, and I highlighted that.
So are you saying there's a tension between the way clergy may want to respond pastorally towards someone making these allegations and the approach that's advocated by the insurance company?
On this particular occasion, absolutely in saying that.
John Titchener is Group Compliance Director of Ecclesiastical.
Can you understand why a victim of sexual abuse who might be in litigation with the Church of England would be concerned that a senior member of the church was sitting on the board of the insurance company?
Well, our job as an insurer is to handle claims in accordance with our regulatory duties and responsibilities.
I understand that, but I'm asking you if you understand the concern that victims of abuse might have when they hear that members of the board of Ecclesiastical are also senior members of the Church of England.
Well, we have one member of the clergy on our board of 11, and non-executive directors do not involve themselves in the operational detail of how the business is run.
But the composition of Ecclesiastical's board is not the most damning aspect of the report. Ian Elliott says that when the church eventually acknowledged Gilo's suffering, it was quickly advised to stop talking to him.
That direction, or that advice, is not compliant with a compassionate pastoral response, which is the stated policy of the church. It's not a secular organisation, it's a church.
John Titchener of Ecclesiastical Insurance.
Well, you're quoting from the Elliott Review. We were not asked to participate in the Elliott Review. And had we been asked, we would have provided the information that we have.
The Bishop of Bath and Wells, Peter Hancock, is now the most senior clergyman responsible for safeguarding issues and strongly disagrees with the church's insurer.
Would it surprise you to learn that Ecclesiastical Insurance Group rejects the findings of the Elliott Review?
I'd want to take an entirely different position to that. The Archbishop very clearly and in a very determined way accepted all those recommendations. And one of my roles as the lead bishop for safeguarding is to make sure that those recommendations are monitored and evaluated and, more importantly, acted upon.
Gilo wants the church to learn from his appalling experience. He says it must change the relationship with its insurer, removing members of the clergy from its board. but any such change will come too late for him.
I've seen a side of the church that is ugly, that is silencing, that is self-preserving. I don't have much faith in the church, that's for sure.